Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
What's up?
Doing all right? What's up, folks listening in radio land? You know, we're going to talk sports, entertainment, and everything else as usual. We're gonna lead it off with a little NBA as the Knicks, they've hit into a tailspin. Oh, yeah, tailspin. But they've lost five of their last six. We'll talk about that leading off the show. Then we'll talk about Mets finally cutting bait with Luis Castillo and hopefully possibly Oliver Perez. We'll discuss that also. Talk about the Yankees a little bit in their spring training. Freddy Garcia, he started off well, but, you know, he's been rock bottom. The Rock lookalike. We'll talk about that also. And we will end off the show with a little, sports entertainment, a little pro wrestling, talk about the worst title match in history between Sting and Jeff Hardy. And also recap on Raw and SmackDown with the whole Rock promo.
Mm-hmm.
But, as usual, for you ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to make a contribution, talk about sports, entertainment, or anything else, you may have the floor. You know the number, but let's tip off this show with a little NBA. And, of course, let's talk a little Knicks basketball.
Basketball.
And if you were just watching, you know, on TV, on the radio, the Knicks fell again to the Bucks, and pretty much the Knicks was never in this game. I mean, in the second quarter, you know, they had that run where they cut the lead down to six to make it 47-41, and they ended the first quarter 31-3 or 33-9 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Ridiculous number.
Yeah, they were down 23.
And they never came back. I mean, they pretty much lost this whole game. I mean, they were pretty much, you know, losing even before the Star Spangled Banner was sung. So
yeah,
looked like one of those days when Knicks can't play any D. They let everybody out rebound them and just, you know, have their way with them and just, you know, score on them at will. And you know, it's been like this pretty much all season, especially even under the Carmelo Anthony era. And I usually don't point the finger at the head coach because the players are the ones getting paid multi-million-dollar contracts. But I think he has to share in that blame. I mean, he doesn't coach any defense. I mean, sure, we know Carmelo was never a defensive stopper, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, you would think, you know, coming to New York, I mean, he's, generally speaking, he's played well, you know. He's had some big games, including that game-winning shot he had, like, last week. But, I mean, he had a stinker of a game on Friday where he scored 6 points, and, you know, pretty much this team has been playing up to the level, you know, with their with the intensity, as you know, the expectation has risen ever since they got you know, Carmelo. So they got to take that game to the next level. I know they need time to gel, you know, but you got two star players, and they both need the ball, you know, to score. You know, there's going to be adjustment period, and you've seen Stoudemire. He's actually improved defensively. He's blocking more shots, but he needs to, you know, improve on his rebounding a bit. I mean, he's still a good rebounder. He averaged like 8 points. I mean, 8 rebounds a game, but
yeah,
he needs to take himself to that elite level.
Well, you know, it all starts with the coaching. They need a better defensive scheme than what they have right now. I mean,
yeah.
They don't play any defense at all. Yes, they could score anybody, but they can't guard.
I mean, I don't know how. What was it, like last week? They scored like 127 points, and they still lost that game. I forget.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, how can you score over 100 points and lose a game? I understand it's the NBA, you know. Sometimes you're not going to have it. Sometimes you're going to lose. But generally speaking, I mean, if you score 100 points, you should win the game.
You should.
And I think maybe even Walt Clyde Frazier said that. The first team that scores 100 points is usually the team that wins.
Yeah.
And that does hold true. But this team, I mean, it's like they let everybody score on them at will. I mean, sometimes they have like 5 minutes when they play defense. And then when they play defense, their offense, you know, ignites. They start hitting threes, dunking. But when they get into the slump, they're so dependent on the three. They don't go down. You know, they go for layups. They miss it. I mean, it's, like, ridiculous. I think the team is too obsessed with hitting threes. I mean, just the other night they did set a Knick record, and I was pumped up about it. Douglas had an awesome game. He tied Sprewell, and John Starks has only two Knicks to score 9 three-pointers in a game, and Nick set the franchise record. I think
yeah.
It was 21 threes.
Yeah, Douglas had, like, 9 three-pointers himself.
Yeah.
But,
So that was the highlight of the week.
Yeah, it was. That was a great game. They actually blew out an opponent you know.
And they actually didn't give up 100 points in a game. Oh, but they did give up 99. That's as close as you could get.
Yeah.
But they won the game, so, you know, you can't knock that game. But other than that, I mean, they've been, man, it's sad, man.
I think we might need Walt Clyde. Because Walt Clyde Frazier would be a good defensive coach, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's been on a team with Red Holtzman who preached defense and,
yeah,
you know, one of the greatest teams of all time. In my opinion, the greatest team, I mean, because, you know, they were like a true team. I mean, sure, there's been more dominant teams like the 98.
I don't know if they're the greatest team. They're one of the best teams, but they're not one.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not the most dominant, like the Bull team in 98. You know,
yeah,
they're not dominant, but I think, like, a team that, like, you know, guys who, like, you could kind of think of it like that Detroit team. It's like, except these guys were Hall of Fame guys. Like, they weren't more about scoring, but they were, you know, they were about passing the ball, playing defense.
Yeah, fundamentals.
Yeah, they were a fundamentally sound team.
And defensively,
I mean, yeah,
they were good also.
Oh, yeah, they were. I mean, they were talented both sides of the court.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think, you know, this guy's played on, you know, the best Knicks teams of all time, so he knows.
Yeah.
You know, he knows what's going on. And there's even rumors maybe, you know, Doc Rivers, who was thinking about, you know, retiring after the end of the year, maybe he, you know, want to coach his former team, the Knicks.
I doubt that. Why would he go from the Celtics to the Knicks? I mean, I know the Knicks are better now,
I agree with you. I agree with you. I don't see it myself either. But then again, to play a little devil's advocate, maybe, you know, he feels like, you know, he wanna set another legacy for himself and, you know, prove that he could win it in New York. And I don't know, but I don't see it happening. I agree with
maybe,
that.
Maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, and some people think bring up the whole Mark Jackson thing, who I wanted to coach the team in the beginning. But I don't see that happening either.
I
think that ship sailed, you know.
Mark Jackson doesn't have any experience coaching.
Yeah. And Ewing, that would be a nice thing, but I don't think they'll give him that shot either. They'd even interview him for the head coaching job when D'Antoni was there, and Ewing took offense to it. So I really don't
give Allen Houston a coaching job before they give Ewing one.
Yeah, I think you're right with that, because Allen Houston isn't great. Has a great relationship with Dolan. Probably the only person who has the better relationship might be Isaiah, but
yeah,
you know. But Allen Houston, he has a great relationship with both Danny Walsh and Dolan. So he should, you know.
Yeah.
He's definitely gonna be in the organization for a very long time.
Oh yeah.
But that's the tail of the tape, folks. They don't play any defense, and they just let a team just, you know, dominated them, you know. And of course, the Bucks was at home, so you know they're gonna be pumped up, you know, to play in their, you know, for their home team, their home court.
Yeah, but Bucks suck, man.
I know. That's the problem with this team. They've lost to the Cavaliers three times. They lost to I'm trying to think what was the Pacers twice.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to describe this team. I mean, this team is consistently inconsistent. I mean, there's no way to describe it.
Yeah, and now they're gonna play Orlando and Boston next couple games.
Yeah, and you know what the problem is? They play better against the good teams when they're not expected to win. And, you know, sometimes they pull it out, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But against these horrible teams, they let them just have their way with them, and they just dominate them, and the Knicks lose. And,
I understand it.
You know, that's pretty much the tale of the whole season right there.
I don't understand it.
I mean, I know as a Knicks fan, we would sign for our record that we have. You know, being sixth, I mean, actually seventh now, because 76ers, you know, took our spot now. But,
Now we'd be playing what? Boston or Chicago in the first round?
Yeah, Boston. I think it would be Boston. But, that's what happened. They're not playing the way they're supposed to.
They're not.
Like we said, you know, we know they need time to gel, but come on. They're close to the, if they keep playing like this, they're not even going to make the postseason.
And they probably won't, the way they're going. They better get their act together.
They got to get their act together and quick. But I guess we'll switch gears on the Knicks, and hopefully by next week when we're doing the show, they'll get their act together.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
What's up with Andrew Fields, man?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really seen him really do anything.
Yeah, he hasn't really,
Since the trade, he's had some games, maybe two or three games, but other than that, he hasn't really kind of disappeared after the trade.
Yeah, his numbers haven't been that good lately. I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, I don't know. But switching to gears to another team that I love, you don't have any love for, that's trying to get their act together, is the New York Mets. And a sign that, you know, they're hopefully going the right direction, they released Luis Castillo, who, let's face it, folks, I mean, if you watch Mets games, especially the one against the Yankees, he hasn't really played that well. I mean, sure, the guy's 35 years old. The guy looks like he's, you know, over the hill. You know, a lot of people say he is our best option at second base because, I mean, even though his defensive ability has diminished, the other guys who are competing for the second base job, like the Rule 5 draft pick, Brad Emus, Justin Turner, Luis Hernandez, or Daniel Murphy, I mean, those guys, they don't really have many, if not any, second base experience.
Yeah.
But I would take my shot with one of those guys because, I mean, Castillo, he's over the hill. I mean, him along with Oliver Perez is like the poster child of, the collapse teams. Even though Castillo, I mean, he showed up in the second half of the collapse. I mean, but Oliver Perez, I mean, ever since 06, I mean, he's pretty much, I should say ever since 07, because 07 he did have he had a good year.
Oh.
Since 08, he's been horrible. I mean, there's no way around it, and I think he's going to be the next to go. I mean, yesterday he gave up a 3-run home run, and then what did he do after the next batter? He gave up another home run, a back-to-back and belly-to-belly, as John Sterling on the Yankees would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the writing on the wall is for Oliver Perez. I think he's going to get cut. By the time we do this show next week, I think he'll be gone with the Mets. I hope he is.
Yeah, I could. Castillo. Well, you know, I don't know his numbers from last year, but I know he didn't play that great last year.
He batted 235.
235. Oh. And he's not much of a home run hitter either.
Well, yeah, we know. Yeah, he's never been a a home run hitter. Sort of a slapping, punching Judy, it's singles type hitter.
Yeah.
But his strength is he gets on base, whether it's bunt singles or he hit regular singles, and he had speed, but the problem is he's had a lot of horrible knee injuries, and he doesn't have the range that he used to have when he was in Florida or even in Minnesota before the Mets got him later that year in 07.
So who's going to play second base now?
That's the $1 million question, or the $6 million question, which the Mets cut with Castillo. Who knows? It could be. I think they're trying to make it Brad Emus because they drafted they got him in the Rule 5 draft. If the guy doesn't stay on the team the whole year, they're gonna have to send him back to the Blue Jays.
Oh, okay.
And J.P. Ricciardi, the former Blue Jays GM, he is familiar with the guy, so they think he has a lot of potential. So if he doesn't make the club, then they're gonna have to give him back to the Blue Jays.
I mean, as a Yankee fan, I'll miss Castillo.
Well, look, hey, you should be happy. At least you have that memorable moment that they play on every week, pretty much. I mean, that is, you know, that is probably, I mean, barring, forgetting about the 2001 series, I mean, that is like the worst regular season game probably the Mets played against the Yankees. Because, I mean, we had that game. K-Rod, I mean, he put himself in that situation. He was like, I think 24 for 24 up until that point. But he loaded the bases, was able to most likely get out of it. But then afterwards, he got a ball that should have ended the game. But, of course, we know Castillo, you know, dropped the ball. And, of course, was it A-Rod that scored? Or was it? No, it wasn't A-Rod. A-Rod was the batter, and Teixeira scored.
Right. And yeah, after the game, the Yankees made Castillo an honorary Yankee.
Yeah, I heard they have a monument for him in the and he got Yankeeography too. Here's the pitch. Oh my God, he dropped the ball. The Yankees, oh my gosh. Wow, what a shocker. Yankees win. But yeah, that's another story for another time.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit still about that game, as you could. But, good rings to Castillo. I mean, I wanted the guy here, you know, because he was a good player.
Yeah.
He used to kill the Mets. He was a talented guy when he was healthy and younger. But, it's time for the Mets to move on. Hopefully they cut Perez, because Perez is the guy out of the two I really wanted to see go anyway.
Oh,
but
good riddance.
Good riddance to Castillo.
And maybe Ollie Perez soon too.
Sure hope so. But I guess switching gears to your Yankees, your guys are getting ready for spring training, and Freddie Garcia, he pitched good early on into the spring training. These last couple of starts, he's pitch horrible.
Yeah. Doesn't look like he'll make a rotation. Cologne's not doing that bad. So it looks like Cologne might be in a rotation, possibly.
Yeah, you guys were seeing over that guy ever since back in the days.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Indian days.
And he does, he still has the stuff. He has the power. He just doesn't have, sometimes, I don't know, he just has a mental block sometimes.
Yeah, and of course, Cologne was part of the worst trades in Major League history that Manaea, the former GM, the Mets' former Mets GM when he was with the Expos.
Yeah.
Because he was running out of, the team was going to get contracted. He made a trade to try to save the Expos organization and his job by acquiring Bartolo Colon, who did win 10 games with the Expos that year in his 20-win season. But, however, what he gave up is very controversial. He gave up Cincinnati Reds second baseman Brandon Phillips,
yeah,
Grady Sizemore, the center fielder from Cleveland Indians, and also Cliff Lee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all these guys, I'm pretty sure all three of them are all-stars.
Yes, they are.
So, and very talented players. So, I mean, it shows you right there how, how it's one of the worst, trades in history.
Yeah, that definitely was. I think the Yankees would be okay.
But yeah, Yankees should be fine. But the key to this season, the pitching staff is how Burnett pitches.
Yeah, that's going to be the starting pitching.
CC, you know what he's going to do if he's mm-hmm. healthy. Losing Pettit, that's going to hurt the Yankee organization.
Yeah.
And Ivan Nova, he's been pitching good.
Yeah.
And, they got some prospects in this system like Brockman and all these other guys, who's, going to try to make the club. So, Yankees, I mean, if they hit, they pitch the way that, the Yankees Yankees typically do, they should be good.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see.
Yep. We have what, 2 weeks left to find out before the season starts? So, but let's switch gears quickly to the pro wrestling, man. And I was thinking about leading off with the, you know, the Rock promo, but man, as soon as I saw this, found out about on, you know, this the TNA thing, and I have to jump this. In case you didn't see TNA Victory Road, which I'm pretty sure you didn't see it either.
I didn't see it, no, but I saw the clip that you're gonna talk about right now.
Yeah, I saw it on YouTube. That I went on a wrestling website and they were saying like how shocking ending to the match. So I saw it on YouTube and man. Jeff Hardy's intro was longer than the match itself. I mean, he comes out to the ring, you know, looking, you know, he does have a drug history, but you don't really notice it that much until watching it really. So he gets into the ring and then Sting comes out and then Bischoff comes out to try to say that, you know, they're changing the stipulations. And then, so then they have the fight. So Jeff Hardy is taunting the fans by throwing his T-shirt, but the bit goes on too long. He should have did it at least twice or three times, but he did it like 12 or 15 times.
Yeah.
And it was like, come on, dude. I mean, after the fifth time, we know you're not gonna throw. We know you're not gonna throw the T-shirt.
Yeah, he definitely looked out of it.
Because you know how some wrestlers they throw their merchandise to the fans, so but he's a villain, so the fans should have known he wasn't going to throw his merchandise to them. But in any case, but then fast forward to the match because the match wasn't really it was like a minute and 37 seconds.
Yeah, it went real quick.
So you know Jeff Hardy wasn't really fighting him, and then. Sting, you know, was punching him, and then he hit him with the Scorpion Death Drop, his one of his finishers. And then after when he went for the three count, the worst thing, the cardinal sin in wrestling, after he pinned Jeff Hardy to retain the title, Jeff Hardy didn't even sell the move. Jeff Hardy got up like if he just got schoolboyed and pinned from behind. And was shocked. Jeff Hardy just got up like he didn't feel any pain. I mean, Jeff Hardy must have been like really high to forget to stay in character and sell the injury.
Well, and also I don't think Jeff Hardy knew that it was coming because I don't think the match was supposed to end that quickly. You know, I think Sting, probably the referee or Bischoff. Who interrupted the match to do a promo, probably told Sting to end the match or something real quickly because Jeff Hardy looked drunk and out of it.
Yeah, because the match was supposed to be short, but it wasn't supposed to be that short. What's his name? Sting did him a favor pretty much by ending the match quickly, but by Jeff Hardy not selling the move, I mean, that really put in wrestling infamy. Right there.
Yeah.
And then the fans were chanting BS. And then Sting, you know, was like, he knows. He knows and stuff like that.
He was like, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, he said, I agree, right. He said something like that, right. I agree.
Oh.
So then, pretty much the fans were booing, and TNA publicly, you know, the next day on Monday, they issued an apology. Good thing for TNA, they issued an apology because
that was definitely messed up, man.
Hopefully Jeff Hardy, gets his act together. He needs to get his personal issues dealt with. Maybe he can take a break from wrestling.
He might be fired.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, he's going through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But, switching gears quickly. The Rock cut a promo on John Cena and The Miz. Check it out on YouTube, folks. We'll discuss more about that, next week. It was a good promo, but wasn't as good as the first one, but it was a good promo. But what was I gonna say? He's gonna be here on the last WrestleMania next week. Well, not the one tomorrow. The week after that, the 28th, live. Okay, most likely probably he's gonna announce the challenge. Maybe the Miz, or no? But let's check that out. We'll find out soon enough. I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the show. I want to thank you, Macaulay, for
no problem.
Being on the show. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Sports of the Legends. I'm with Macaulay and William Ramon. So long, everybody. Have a great week.